the human heart is an amazing creation of God. The heart is a hard-working marvel that can continue beating automatically even if all nerves are severed. It beats an average of 75 times a minute, 40 million times a year, and 2.5 billion times by the time a person is 70 years old. With each beat, the average adult heart pumps 4 ounces of blood. This amounts to 3,000 gallons a day and over 1 million gallons a year. The heart produces enough energy in a 12-hour period to lift a 65-ton railroad car in the air. The heart is an organ that is absolutely necessary for life. Many people die every year because of heart disease. Many people take medication to strengthen their hearts, to control blood pressure, to reduce cholesterol, to prevent blood clots. It is absolutely vital that we take care of our old ticker. A healthy heart is vital for a full and enjoyable life. This is true physically, but it is also true spiritually. The title of this morning's message is, A Christian Should Have a Genuine Heart for God. You see, the greatest need of any person is to know God and walk with Him in a real, genuine, personal relationship. Dr. Terry Coomer wrote a book. He wrote a book about how to start that personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. It's a very good book, well worth the read. It's not a hard thing, but it's really basic. God does not make His ways hard. He is not the author of confusion. His commands are not grievous. We find that in 1 John chapter 5. This heart for Him should truly be the desire of every Christian, whether you have been a Christian for a day or a week or a year or many, many years. If you are saved, then you already do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. You've been washed in the blood. You've been saved from your sins. He has paid the penalty that you owe for your sins, and I praise the Lord for that. But that does not mean you truly have a heart for God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you are not saved, and there may be somebody here, there may be somebody by way of live stream that is not saved, then you need not worry about having a heart for God. What you need to worry about and really do something about is your eternal soul. We all have an eternal soul. When our human bodies die, or if we do not die before the Lord returns, He could return at any moment, we will all spend eternity somewhere. There is no soul sleep. There is no nothingness after death. We don't just vanish into nothing. Each and every one of us has an eternal soul that will either spend eternity in heaven with Christ or spend eternity in a literal physical place called hell, which the Bible describes in Mark chapter 9, verses 44 and 48. Jesus is speaking there, and He says, Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if the eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's interesting, in this little passage, 4 times He says the fire is not quenched. He wants to get the point across. There's an eternal hell. But the good news is that there is a way to heaven, and there is a way to have your sins forgiven. There is a way to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, you know these verses, for all have sinned, that you and I, and come short of the glory of God. But in Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of your sin and my sin is death. And if you are not saved this morning, death is your wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know the verse well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He loved you and He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a way to be saved. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with the Lord, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For those that aren't saved, or if you are not saved today, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. This is an urgent matter. We're going to talk about a heart for God, but your salvation is more of an urgent matter. As you and I are not promised tomorrow, we're not even promised our next breath. At the end of our service this morning, we'll have an invitation to get right with God, an invitation where we can have someone show you from the Bible how to be saved. I urge you, if you're not saved today, get saved. But this morning, I want to look at this heart for God that Christians should have. Wherever you are at in your Christian life, your Christian walk, there is always room for improvement. There's always room for a closer walk with God. There's always room for a more fervent desire to please Him in all your ways. And that's what God wants from you and I today. Every time we approach the preaching of the Word of God, every time we approach the teaching of the Word of God, God wants us to evaluate, examine our own lives and our own walk with Him, and listen for and obey the Holy Spirit in how we can do better, how we can improve, how we can further please and trust in the Lord. This is what He wants. He wants us to grow in grace. That's an ongoing command for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." In verse 3 of that passage, he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." This is a daily effort. This is a lifelong work of diligence by us to abound more and more. God wants us to be holy. We know that from 1 Peter chapter 1. Can any of us say that we've reached it? I don't think so. But we can say, hey, we're attaining toward it. Therefore, we should have this heart for God, so that we can be walking in a direction that takes us closer and closer and closer to Him each day. Having a genuine heart for God and enjoying daily personal revival, okay, let me say that again. Having a genuine heart for God and enjoying daily personal revival should be the norm for you and I as Christians. Yes, it should. But how many days do we live in doubt and defeat because of sin? How many days do we live in depression or bitterness because of unbelief? How many days do we live in lukewarmness or apathy because of our own despising the Word of God? How many days do we forsake the blessings of being close to God and blessings and joy and the blessings and joy of walking with Him? Because we want to, how many days do we forsake that? Because we want to please our own flesh rather than submit ourselves to God. How many days do we walk in our own flesh because we neglect our time in prayer with the Lord? I say to you this morning that it is time for those days to stop, to be over, to be done with. Oh, I know we have trials. I know we have temptations, sometimes on a daily basis. We have a hard time when we focus on the seen instead of trusting in the unseen. But even in these, we can and should be walking close to the Lord, having that daily personal revival, and truly have this genuine heart for God that He wants us to have. In our text, Joshua 22 verse 5, let's read that again. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of God, Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto them and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." The children of Israel had finally come to Canaan, the promised land. Under the leadership of Joshua, the land west of the Jordan River had been conquered and divided, mostly divided by this time. The 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and 1/2 of Manasseh, had faithfully fought at the side of their brethren for more than 7 long years. They had left their loved ones on the east side of the Jordan River to fight so that they could go and help their brethren fight the Canaanites. And now it was time for them to go home. It was time for them to go back over the Jordan River to the east side, back to their families. And Joshua gives them this charge that we're reading. Just 3 verses before that in Joshua 22, you're there, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, "And said unto them," Joshua said unto them, "Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and under the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan." They endured hardships and loneliness. Now, as had been promised, they could go home. So Joshua blessed them and sent them on their way. They had faithfully followed all the military commands. Enemies had been conquered and victories had been won. And now Joshua gives them some basic steps to these tribes about being faithful to their God as they return to their families. Prior to sending them away, Joshua gives them a very, very important charge. And this charge is in the Bible. We read it in Joshua 22:5, because it is not only applicable to you and I, but it is vital for you and I as Christians. A Christian who truly wants this heart for God, and every Christian should want a heart for God, can experience this wonderful personal revival, and it all begins with a desire to seek after Him. We are reminded of this in Deuteronomy. I want you to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We are reminded of this in Deuteronomy chapter 4 on one of the occasions where Moses is addressing the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 4:29, the Bible says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. We're talking about a heart for God this morning. The Lord desires this fellowship with each of his children, and he is watching, waiting for you and I to desire to walk with him and desire this heart for him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The Bible speaks of a heart for God. Maybe you are there today. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are enjoying this close, revived walk with the Lord, and you can say your heart is truly after God. And I praise the Lord for that. Some do experience this daily, but it should be all of us. For the Christian who knows their heart is not where it should be, for the Christian who is hearing from the Holy Spirit that their heart is growing cold or their heart has grown cold, or for the Christian who knows even though they are walking with God, they need a closer walk with God. God is giving this reminder. God is giving us a reminder. He's giving direction for that Christian today in this passage of Joshua. A heart for God should be your first priority if you desire a joyous, fulfilling, fruitful, revived life. The world and worldly things and worldly pursuits is not going to give you this joyous, fulfilling, fruitful, revived life. It's not. And John chapter 15 gives a great testimony of this. But in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, we're back there now, Joshua 22, 5, God gives a vital and pointed list of spiritual commandments to follow if we are to have this heart for God. In Joshua 22, 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And we can remember these five things that we're going to see this morning by five words. If I have this correctly, five verbs, but it's been a long time since I've studied it. You can remember these 5 points. Love, right from this verse. Love, walk, keep, cleave, and serve. Now, these are nothing new, but one of the purposes of preaching is to stir the embers again and motivate the Christian to a closer walk with God and to glorify Him with their lives. We see 5 things in this passage for the Christian. 1, love the Lord. 2, walk in all His ways. 3, keep His commandments. 4, cleave unto Him. And 5, serve Him. As we look at this verse of Scripture, there's an interesting parallel to a verse that we know very well, which we can very clearly see is appropriate for our day today and has been for a while. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know this one probably by heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's an interesting parallel we're going to see this morning. This verse in 2 Chronicles, as you know, is the response of God to Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple. And we're going to see these parallels. So in Joshua, first of all, in Joshua, Joshua 22, 5, the first thing we see for this heart for God is to love the Lord. Joshua 22, 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God. The Bible commands the Christian to love the Lord over 250 times. 250 times, not the least of which is when Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This, loving the Lord, is a commitment of our affections, a commitment of our affections. What we focus on is what becomes what we love, what we have affection for. This is why many Christians struggle with wrong affections. Their focus is wrong. They're not focused on the Lord. We're given the admonitions in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In Colossians 3, 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Get your focus right. Where is your focus today? What is your focus? What have you been focused on this last week? Is your focus or has your focus been on some worry or fear or a worry about the future or what's going to happen tomorrow? Is your focus been on some anxiety in your life? What about a situation where you can't or don't see a solution or a resolution or a difficult or burdensome family situation? Or are you focused on some hobby or pastime that is stealing your time from God? Maybe that hobby or pastime is keeping you from gathering with the saints even today or some other Sunday. Are you focused on where you would rather be than here right now? Are you focused on some sin that you don't want to put off or don't want to get out of your life that you want to turn back to even after being in church? I don't know your heart, but you know your heart. where is your focus? For some, there's an unfaithfulness to God's house instead of a focus on faithful attendance. Their focus is on their own desires. For some, there is a neglect of the Word of God, which is what we call a despising of the Word of God, putting it much lower than it needs to be. Instead of having that very critical daily time with God in prayer and Bible reading, for some, there is a lack of carefulness in the thought life. The focus is wrong. Not reckoning the fact that God does know all your thoughts, and He cares what you dwell on. He cares what you focus on. For some, there's a lack of diligence in their personal life about their daily conversation or their daily way of living. But for some, their love is in the right place. Their affections are in the right place. Praise the Lord. They truly love the Lord. They want to please the Lord with their daily lives, their every word, their every thought, the way they act, the way they dress, the way they think, the way they talk, what they see, what they listen to, the way they talk about the Lord to others. Their focus is on the Lord, no matter what is happening in their lives. Their eyes are focused in the right place. Their eyes are on Jesus. It makes me think of that hymn, right? Turn your eyes on Jesus. In other words, get your focus right. Get your affections right. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. This is a commitment of our affections. Love the Lord your God. This is one of the charges that Joshua gave to those tribes. As you focus on Jesus, your love for Him will grow, and your understanding of His love will increase. And the worries and cares of the world will grow dim, as the songwriter put it. The result is that you will grow and develop a deeper heart for God. As I said before, there's an interesting parallel with 2 Chronicles 7:14. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, Solomon has finished his public prayer of dedication of the temple, and God answers back to him. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," there's the parallel. In Joshua 22:5, he says, "Love the Lord thy God." Here he says, turn from their wicked ways. Turning from their wicked ways would mean they're setting their affections aright. They're getting their focus right. They're loving the Lord. Get your focus off pleasing your flesh. Get your focus off doing all that you want to do. Doing that which is right in your own eyes, and start focusing on Him. Get your focus off the trials. Yes, pray about them. Yes, we need to deal with them, but get your focus off of them. Focus on Jesus and ask Him to help you love Him more so that you can develop this heart for God that He wants you to have. I have to ask myself, and I had to ask myself all through studying through this, where is my heart? What's my heart focused on? Do I have this heart for God? Where is your focus today? Is your focus getting in the way of truly loving the Lord? Or is your focus helping you truly love the Lord? Love the Lord, Joshua tells them. Secondly, Joshua tells them, Joshua 22:5, to walk in all His ways. Walk in all His ways. Look at Joshua 22:5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways." Okay? This is a commitment of our direction. This is a commitment of our direction to walk in all His ways. What is your spiritual direction today? I mean, are you growing in your walk with the Lord? Do you look forward to your time with God and His Word each day, or is it a drudgery? Do you look forward to the church services to hear what God has for you? Or is it just an item to check off your list? Are you hearing from the Holy Spirit when you read your Bible? Let me say that again. Are you hearing from the Holy Spirit when you read your Bible? Or is it just words on a page, a set amount that you are reading, just another checklist item to do each day? Is your spiritual direction towards God? Because if it's not toward God, the only alternative, it's away from God. There's no just maintaining or just coasting. That's just not going to happen. Either you're aiming in His direction to get closer to Him, or you're headed away from Him. In Micah 6:8, the Bible says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly?" Oh, there's something about a just man. "And to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Okay? To walk humbly with thy God. If you are walking with God, then you're going in His direction. You cannot walk with somebody and go in opposite directions. If you truly desire that heart for God, and that really should be the true desire of you and I as Christians, our heart, my heart needs to be about You, Lord. You must determine by faith to go in His direction, a commitment of Your direction. You must determine by faith to walk in all His ways. This is what Joshua told those tribes. Walk in all His ways. Find out what direction the Lord is going. Find out what direction the Lord wants you to go in and head there. And I am convinced there are young people here, maybe old people here too. Okay? I'm convinced that need to surrender their wills to the Lord's will and find out what direction the Lord wants them to go in. And they need to get busy going in it. And how do we find out His direction, His pathway, His way? Obviously, the Word of God. Again, as I mentioned in Sunday school, that's why we gather. That's why we gather to learn about the Word of God. That's why we gather to hear the preaching of the Word of God, to know what direction God's going in and commit our direction to that direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know it well. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That means we're going to walk with Him. We're going to go in His direction. Let Him direct you. I mean, let Him truly direct you. Let Him show you His ways, and walk ye in them. Jeremiah 7:23. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you." It was true for them. It's true for us. We need to walk in all the ways that God has commanded us. We have the testimony of Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. Boy, I really pray that I can have that testimony, that I walk with God. I'm not there yet. I don't claim to be there yet. But I want to walk with God. In Psalm 116, verses 8 and 9, the psalmist wrote, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." We could stop right there and go, "Oh, praise God, you've delivered me." And then he says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." In other words, I'm going to walk with Him in the land of the living. This is definitely a heart that is committed to walking in the direction of God, to walk in all His ways. I have to ask you, I have to ask me, is that your heart this morning? Maybe your heart's a little cold. Maybe your heart's a little indifferent. Maybe this morning is just the call to get our heart right and start walking with Him. Is it your desired direction to walk with the Lord? Do you have that desire? Is that the direction to which you are committed? The parallel to what Joshua said in Joshua 22:5, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." There's the parallel. There's the parallel. Seek my face, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Seeking the face of God is a seeking of His way, is a seeking of His direction, is a seeking of His commands, a seeking to know Him better so that you can walk with Him in His direction. In Psalm 119, verse 45, Bible says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I seek you, Lord. I seek your direction. I will walk at liberty." Very interesting here. One commentator wrote about this walking in liberty. He wrote that it means freed from all that which is evil, not hampered with the fetters of my own corruptions, and free to do, free to that which is good, doing it not by constraint, but willingly. The service of sin is perfect slavery. The service of God is perfect liberty. In other words, I can walk at liberty to do that which God commands me, free from my sins, for I seek thy precepts. The Christian should want to walk in all the ways of God, to seek Him so he can walk in all God's ways. There's great liberty in this. Not liberty to follow the flesh, but liberty in the freedom from the bondage of sin. As a Christian, your direction should be in God's direction. It should be what God wants for you, what God's ways are for you. And how does a Christian commit to that direction, to commit to walk in all God's ways? By seeking His face, by seeking His commands, by seeking His Word. A Christian, as I said at the very beginning, should have this heart for God. A Christian should desire this heart for God, this heartbeat for Him. And this can be accomplished by, as Joshua said, loving the Lord, a commitment of your affections to be on the right object, God, and walking in all His ways, a commitment of your direction, which should be God's direction. Thirdly, we can have this heart for God or develop this heart for God by keeping His commandments. This is a step of submission. Back to Joshua 22:5. Joshua writes, Joshua says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of God, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments." Remember, this is the charge that Joshua is giving to these tribes. Jesus Christ Himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments." Jesus repeats this very thing, or similar wording, four times in the book of John. "If you love Me, keep My commandments." The greatest struggle we face does not come from the world or Satan's attacks, although the things they throw our way can certainly be great struggles. We know that. Our greatest struggle is with our own flesh. You know, "I want it my way, not God's way." Or you might not say that in words, but your thoughts and actions tell a different story. When you give into the flesh, or you make decisions based on your own desires rather than seeking God on the matter and obeying Him, you have a choice to make: to obey what you know is right, or to disobey and do what your flesh wants and what you want. We are given the admonishment in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." As Joshua said, keep His commandments. "Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And no, we have trouble with this. Remember Paul in Romans, the next chapter, in Romans chapter 7, Paul writes, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me." I want that heart for God, but how to perform that which is good I find not. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." It's our flesh. The answer to Paul's dilemma, and the answer to the dilemma in all of us, is in 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can obey Him. I can keep His commandments. Through His power, through Him, I can do it. And I know that His commandments are not grievous. We know this. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about having a heart for God. And you and I as Christians should want that heart for God. And one of the steps is keeping His commandments. We have just seen clear Bible commands, and there are many more that we should and must keep His commandments. So the question to me that I had to ask, and the question you should be asking, is what Bible commandments do you know that you know you are not keeping? Is there a commandment of God that He has pointed out to you, maybe even in this service, that you know you need to get right, or you know you need to obey? What commandment? Keep His commandments. The parallel in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Remember, this is a step of submission. Humbling yourselves before God is a step of submission. We humble ourselves when we decide to and obey God rather than obeying our flesh. In Psalm 119, verse 47, the Bible says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. How can I delight myself in His commandments and not obey them? It doesn't make sense. Each day, throughout the day, the choice is given to us. My way, your way, disobedience, or God's way, obedience. I'm making reference to the flesh. I'm not saying everything you do is disobedience. You understand, I'm talking about the pressures and the fighting of our flesh. We choose lust or purity. We choose forgiveness or anger. We choose bitterness or release. We choose deceit or honesty. And the list goes on and on and on. If I, as a Christian, desire this heart for God, then I, as a Christian, should, then I must obey His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And He gives us the way to obey Him. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, and you'll recognize this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Praise God for that. 2 Peter 2:9, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. There's the unjust man. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Day by day, as you desire to have a heart for God, one of the ways to get and keep that heart for Him is to obey His commandments. We find that in Joshua 22:5. Number four, cleave unto Him. If we go back to our text verse, look at it there. Joshua says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, and to love the Lord your God and walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him. This is a step of our dependence. This is a step of our dependence. The word cleave means to cling to or to hold fast to. As human flesh, we love to see ourselves as independent and self-sufficient. Yet our Heavenly Father wants us to depend on Him for all things. He wants us to trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us. He wants us to come boldly under the throne of grace, we find in Hebrews chapter 4. God wants and expects us to depend on His power to strengthen and sustain us. He wants us to cleave unto Him. And the question is, are you cleaving to God? Or is God an afterthought in your day? Do you routinely express your great and deep need for God for everything, or do you not? I had to ask myself every day, Am I going to the Lord saying, God, I need you. I need your help with today. How about for wisdom? We know the book of James tells us that he gives wisdom liberally. Why aren't we cleaving to him and asking him for wisdom? How about help in doing something? Even the littlest things, even the shopping list, even the special you're going to sing, or the whatever it is, even the, Lord, should I go this direction to work, or should I change my route today? Are we cleaving to the Lord? Do you seek him for wisdom? Do you rely on your own judgment and knowledge to make decisions? Do you seek and trust his word for your outlook on life and your view of the world? Or do you follow your heart? We know what the Bible tells us about our heart, of course, being desperately wicked that it is. Does the amount of time that you spend in his word each week, day by day, demonstrate how much you are cleaving to him? That was convicting to me. How about prayer? Is your prayer life anemic or empty? Is it a checklist item that you just want to get through so you can get on with your day? Is there power in your prayer life? Is there passion in your prayer life? Is there any desire to cleave to God in prayer? Joshua says, as one of these items, cleave to the Lord. The parallel in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're doing the parallel here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. He's speaking here of true, passionate prayer. Prayer. Real, sincere, desperate, diligent prayer is a manifestation of cleaving to God. It is a necessary part of having a heart for God. A Christian should desire and really should have a heart for God. We've seen in this verse so far, Joshua speaking to these tribes, and this heart for God can be accomplished by loving the Lord, a commitment of your affections to be on the right object, God, walking in all his ways, a commitment of your direction, which should be God's direction, keeping his commandments, this is a step of submission to him, and cleaving unto the Lord, a step of dependence upon him for everything every day. And finally, number 5, serve him. Serving the Lord is a test of our priorities. Is a test of our priorities. Joshua 22:5, you ought to have it memorized by the end of this service. Joshua 22:5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him. The challenge is to serve or work or labor or minister with our entire being. The parallel, we'll jump right to the parallel in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, you might not see that parallel right off the bat, but you and I as Christians are called by the name of the Lord. Christians, we are his. By the very name Christian, that should indicate a new set of priorities in life. That should indicate the fact that we are called by his name should indicate that we put certain things ahead of others in our life. It should indicate that we not only put some things ahead of others in life, but also that we put off some things in life. Serving the Lord is a result of having a heart for God. Okay? Serving the Lord is a result of having a heart for God, but serving him is going to help develop our heart for God. If I desire to have a heart for God, then serving him is going to be a hallmark of that desire. Now, serving him is not a substitute for a heart for God. Serving him is not a substitute for a heart for God. And serving him is not a substitute for loving the Lord, and it's not a substitute for cleaving unto him, and it is not a substitute for obeying him. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? serving Him. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. Every one of us has the same amount of time in a day and in a week. Although some have fuller schedules than others, we all face a test of our priorities. So you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, what takes priority in my schedule? What takes priority in your schedule? I see for you all, it's a priority to be here this morning. Praise God. What takes priority? Sleep? Work? Family? Recreation? Church? Wasting time? Serving God is not a position we fill, but it's a priority we follow. Serving Him is the priority of ministering to others for His glory. Often, we find ourselves having no time for serving God simply because it's not a priority for us. What are you doing to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your total being? Now, we all have things we've got to do during our days. I know that. We have responsibilities. We have jobs. We have families. We got that. But where are your priorities? I think of the words of the hymn, "Only One Life." Only one life to offer, Jesus, my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise Thee and of Thy mercy sing. Only one heart's devotion, that heart for God. O Savior, O may it be, consecrated alone to Thy matchless glory, yielded fully to Thee. We're given the admonishment in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And even Jesus Himself said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Serving the Lord is a test of our priorities. What are your priorities today? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your daily and weekly priorities? The greatest need of any person is to know God and walk with Him. Certainly the greatest need is salvation. But the greatest need then is to know God and walk with Him in a real, genuine, personal relationship with Him. Having a genuine heart for God and enjoying daily personal revival should be the norm for you and I as Christians. A Christian should have a heart for God. We're reminded in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. This heart for God, we see five things in this verse of Joshua chapter 22 about having a heart for God, and this can be accomplished by loving the Lord, which is a commitment of your affections, walking in all His ways, a commitment of your direction, keeping His commandments, a step of submission to Him, cleaving unto the Lord, a step of dependence on Him, and serving Him. This is a test of priorities in your life. And the question is, how is your heart today?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.